Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable within your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. St. Matthew 6 and 13. This the Revised Standard Interpretation. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Temptation, it's true. It is my prayer that something has been said in word or in song, or in your own reflection over these past few weeks, that has helped to move the Lord's Prayer from just words that we may say in many settings to words that are alive and describe in their way what is our relationship with God through the gift and teachings of Jesus Christ. You begin with acknowledging the presence of God, and then in six petitions to request, you have the acknowledgement that God's kingdom is to come. And we pray these words, that it offers us possibilities, that what is broken can be restored. And the petition speaks to our needs from day to day. When we have the clothing drive and the crop walk this afternoon, we are instruments of those words. Give us today bread for the coming day. And when there is pain in our community, the word comes, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. The Lord's Prayer is alive. It describes our relationship, our relationship with God and with one another. It describes or speaks to what is our spiritual journey. Certainly, this is the case when you come to this last petition and we pray. And we pray, confessing and acknowledging that temptation is real. It starts at a young age. A mother said to her 5-year-old daughter, "Now these cookies on the shelf are not for you, so please don't bother them." The mother came back in the kitchen just a few minutes later, and there was her daughter on the shelf with a cookie in her mouth. She said, "I thought I told you not to bother those." She said, "Mom, I know. I just climbed up on the counter and my teeth got caught." It starts at a young age, and yet it goes all the way through life. Some of us may remember Rodney Dangerfield, the late Rodney Dangerfield now, and his famous line, "I don't get no respect." But he also had another one that he made famous, "It ain't easy being me." It ain't easy being me. Well, we can all experience that. I think it was Paul who expressed it so well. The good I would do, I do not. And the very thing that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. John Wesley described it this way. In talking about his journey, he said, "I'm going on, He had not arrived yet, but he said, I'm going on to perfection. Temptation, it's real. There is also that part in the petition where it talks about delivery from the evil one. And when it comes to the devil, I think we all have some kinds of images about it. And for some, there is just no image at all. Struggling with, is this a reality? And when you get caught up with that image of a pitchfork or a long tail, it even maybe takes us further away from kind of understanding, is this a reality? But what if we speak of the devil? Or what if we speak of the evil one as an adversary? As an adversary. Something that would take us away, something that is averse to God, and then adverse to God's purpose and God's will for our life. Something or someone, an adversary. And so we pray then to be delivered. And I wanted to emphasize the prayer to be delivered. An illustration of that recorded, if a person's house is on fire, the person does not sit down to write or to read a treatise on the origin of fires in private homes. But the person seeks to put the fire out and to save their house. Temptation is an adversary, adverse to the will and to the plan of God. And so we pray to be delivered from it. What are these temptations? Well, they come from outside of us. And a part of this dynamic, and I thought this was the most interesting one in reading, because I think there are all kinds of others that you can name quickly, but this one was a little different. A part of the dynamic is that temptation can come from the very people who love and care about us. From the very people who love and care about us. Jesus experienced this when he was 12 years old and they had been to the city for the time of celebration and renewal. And his family was on their way back home, and there was a large group of them. And so it took some time before they discovered that Jesus was not with them. They returned to the city, and there was Jesus in the temple. And they came and asked him, how could you do this to us? How could you worry us like this, that we didn't know where you were? We didn't realize that you were not with us. How could you do this to us? And Jesus responded, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? There was also the time when Jesus, now with the cross not far away, and he was reflecting and thinking about this time and this moment when crucifixion was coming. And one of his disciples, Peter, came to him and said to him, I don't like you speaking and talking like this. Don't talk like this. And Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. For I must do my Father's will. Sometimes what we hear, what we hear from others can be of temptation. And sometimes what we say to others, we have to be careful what we say, because it can be harmful or it can be helpful. A senior pastor had a young pastor, a young, handsome assistant pastor that had just started and came to work with him. And the senior pastor was trying to counsel him on immorality and to be careful about where he went and what he did. The young pastor said, "I understand what you're saying. And that is why when I socialize, I always socialize in a crowd. There is safety in numbers." The young senior pastor looked at him and said, "That's true. But sometimes there's more safety in Exodus." We have to be careful what we say and just how the impact it might have upon others. Well, temptation comes from without, and it also comes from within. And the difficulty here is that temptation comes within at the very point that we think we are the strongest. At our strongest point is where temptation comes. When we say that there is nothing that can bother me, it is at that point where temptation comes. There have been many impressions that have stuck with me over these past few weeks and all the tragedies that we have endured. The tragedies of the earthquake and the hurricane, and how it seemed, the floods, and how it seems at that moment that the point and places and buildings where they struck were the very places that seemed invincible. Invincible. And now what was invincible is destroyed. We have to be careful that in temptation, when it comes at our strongest point, we have to be careful that then is the time that we have given ourselves to Bible study, that we have given ourselves to prayer, that we have given ourselves to worship and to fellowship with one another. So when temptation comes at our strongest point, it is then that we are ready. It is then that we are prepared. It is then that deliver us from the evil one all comes together. And yes, it makes sense. The last point is that temptation can also be defined as testing. As testing. I think about when I was working with the school district and the CSAP test was generating so much controversy in the community, we decided that we would offer the test for adults so adults could understand just what it was that the kids were experiencing. And so that night we had an open night and anybody was invited to come by and to take the CSAP test. People came. And so many left shaking their heads, wondering how the children could pass. There was one young man who stepped out, though, and he said, "Reverend, it was no problem." I said, "Is that right?" He said, "Yes, it was no problem. Got through it in a hurry." I said, "How did you do that?" He said, "Well, after all, Reverend, I'm a third-year medical student." Testing. Trial. What do you do with them? There are all kinds throughout Scripture. I just wanted to share a couple of them because they're all through there. And I invite you as you're reading through the Scriptures to think about the ways that this was a test or a trial. But there are two that I wanted to mention. I think about Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, and how long they had been waiting, how long they had been waiting for the birth of their child. Sarah, now 80 years old, we believe, and thinking that she's long past childbearing years. But through the gift of God and the Spirit, Sarah had a child. Long awaited, she had Isaac. And they thought surely God's promise now had been fulfilled. Here is the long son that we had been promised, Isaac. But then the word comes to Abraham. I want you to take Isaac. I want you to go up to the mountain. I want you to sacrifice him to me. Abraham gathers Isaac, heads on up to the place of sacrifice. But when he gets out of what must have been their group together with their other servants and others to head on up, he tells them to stay behind. And they head up to the place of sacrifice. But before he heads up, he says to them, "We're going over here, the boy and I, but we shall return." On his way to the place, Isaac says to him, "Dad, we have the sticks and the rocks and everything for the fire, but we don't have the sacrifice." Abraham said to Isaac, "The Lord will provide." At the very moment when it seemed as if Abraham would be sacrificing this promised son, God said, "Wait, wait, for there is a ram in the bush." Something about test, something about trials, they will come to each one of us, but as we are praying for delivery, something about them says, "There is a ram in the bush." The other one I thought about also was Paul. He, as many of you know, is one of my favorites in the scripture. And I think about him often because of all that he experienced as a witness to God, as a witness for what he had found in Jesus Christ. But yet Paul had what was described as a thorn in the flesh. Many have tried to discover or talked about what that thorn could have been. It was suggested that he had epilepsy, what we would call epilepsy, because he always traveled with a doctor. It was suggested that somewhere along the line his face had become disfigured, or that he could not speak or articulate his words very well. An excellent writer, but not a very good speaker. It was thought that he was experiencing all of these things. And yet he prayed. And he prayed to have that thorn removed. And Paul wrote then that the answer that came back to me was God said, my grace is sufficient for you." Times of testing, times of trial, we need to discover, we need to hear afresh and anew, there are rams in the bushes, that God's grace is sufficient for us. And so what does it say about those tests and those trials? It says to us that we are meant to pass. That we are meant to pass. I think so much of the life of our church and where we are. Testing and trials, surely we can name them. But there is something that comes to us in the midst of the test, in the midst of the trial. There is a word that comes to Burns Church this morning. Keep your eyes on mission. Keep your eyes on purpose. Keep your eyes on the vision. Don't lose sight of the vision. The vision at this moment is what Melba has articulated for us. The vision that miracles can happen. That miracles can happen right here and right now. For the same God that provided a ram for Abraham, The same God that told Paul about grace being sufficient, that is our God today. Do you believe that? That is our God today. God has not changed. That is our God today. And so for the testing and the trials that we encounter at this hour, we are meant to pass. We are meant to pass. In the traditional manuscripts, the prayer ends with this petition. But there's something I've always treasured, in that as the early church received the prayer, as the early church thought about God's kingdom and how it was to come and how God's kingdom was present with them right now, they drew on the words of the psalmist, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." Oh, that we might draw that same joy, that same excitement. Oh, that we might be people of the Lord's Prayer. And then say, amen and amen.